you have a Bible, if you would please turn with me to the book of Romans, please. Romans, third chapter. Romans, third chapter. We'll be making our way through the book of Romans. We're up to chapter 3, verse number 9. And following. Let's read verse number 9, Romans chapter 3, verse 9, and verse number 23 alone. We'll read and then we'll pray. Romans, the third chapter, verse 9, and then verse number 23. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity once again to spend a few moments in your holy word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us into truth. Lord, grant us humility of mind and humbleness of spirit, that we would receive with thanksgiving your eternal word, and that we would respond to it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We live in an opinionated society. And this has gotten out of control with advanced technology. People are airing their opinions like never before in human history. Socially, one-on-one, through talkback radio, which has become even more popular, newspapers, and of course through the internet, forums, chat rooms, blogs, blobs, and you know the rest. We seem to think it's a right to give an opinion. My question this morning is it our right to have an opinion? I don't believe it's a right to have an opinion, it's a privilege to give an opinion. It's a privilege to be given the opportunity to give an opinion or make comments on a subject or issue. The title of my sermon this morning is, I didn't ask for your opinion. God speaking. I didn't ask for your opinion, God speaking. I had a situation a month or so ago where I asked an individual to pass on a message for me because I couldn't contact this individual, but I knew this other person had their details. This individual voluntarily gave me his opinion on the subject matter that I wanted him to pass on to this third person. Though it had nothing to do with him, he had to give me his opinion. In fact, I don't even know the person personally. He doesn't know me personally, but he had to give me his opinion, though it had nothing to do with him. See, we all have opinions, and we all want to air them. Sometimes our opinions are not warranted, asked for, or sometimes our opinions simply do not matter. In contrast, God's word is absolute truth. He tells us what we need to know. Instead of getting engrossed in our own opinions I think we're better off listening to God, listening and heeding to His Word and what God has for us. For example, concerning our condition before a holy God, the Bible teaches us that we are all guilty sinners. Note then verse number 9 once again of the third chapter of Romans. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. But you might say this morning, well, I'm not really a bad person. I've never murdered anybody. I'm a good person. I believe in God. I didn't ask for your opinion, God speaking. Besides, it really makes no difference because it's what God thinks. That's what really matters, is it not? And here in Romans chapter 3 verse 9, the Bible teaches us that we are all guilty sinners. Now previously we studied chapter 2 verses 17 all the way through the chapter 3 verse number 8. And we noted from this passage of scripture an address to those people that would claim to be religious. Does God give any credit to those that claim to be religious? Those that are religious by what they claim to be, what they claim to know, and what they claim to do. Does it make any difference in the sight of God? Well, we concluded from this passage of Scripture, climaxing with verse number 9 of chapter 3, that it really makes no difference at the end of the day whether religious or non-religious, we are all guilty sinners in need of God's salvation. God, who sees everything and knows everything, tells us whether Jew or Gentile. Now, a reference to the Jew or Gentile has a twofold application: a Jew in reference to God's people, the nation of Israel, and also in reference in application to the religious person. The Gentile is in reference to those that are not Jewish, first and foremost, and secondly, they are not religious in any way. So the Bible teaches us whether you are religious or not religious, whether you are a Jew or not a Jew, a Gentile, the Bible teaches us we are all condemned sinners. We are guilty of sin. We have not only been charged with sin, we have been sentenced concerning our sin, and therefore we have a payment to pay because of our sin. But Pastor, I'm not really a bad person. I'm a religious person. I believe in God. I've taken part in various religious activities. I'm not really that bad. I didn't ask for your opinion. God speaking. See, the Bible teaches us that we are all guilty sinners. In verse number 23, just in case we miss the point of verse number 9, the Bible teaches us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, in review, chapter 2, verses 17, all the way through to chapter 3, verse number 8, teaches us that we are all guilty sinners before a holy God in need of God's redemption, in need of God's salvation. And here in chapter 3, verse number 23, God gives us a round off concerning the issue, and tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now note the usage of that word "all." No exceptions. Everybody. That includes you. That includes me. That includes the Prime Minister. That includes the Pope. That includes the Dalai Lama. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes Barack Obama. And some 7 billion people in the world today, the Bible teaches us, for all have sinned. We're all sinners. We're all guilty of sin. We have not only been sentenced with sin, but we've been charged sinners. We've been found guilty as sinners. And the Bible teaches us in verse 23, because we've all sinned, we have all come short. We have all fallen short of God's standard of perfection. For all have sinned and come short. We don't meet the standard, so to speak, of bringing glory to God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the Bible teaches us that we are all guilty of sin. And the Bible teaches us, because we are all guilty of sin, we cannot glorify God in our own strength. We've all come short in some way. We cannot glorify God, humanly speaking, because we are all sinners, according to the Holy Bible. But Pastor, hang on. I didn't ask for your opinion. God speaking. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse number 10, the Bible teaches us if we sin in one point of the law, we are guilty of all. Now consider the Ten Commandments. We don't have time to go through the Ten Commandments in detail, but some of those commandments deal with the issue of not bearing false witness, not committing adultery, not stealing, not coveting, not being idolatrous. The first commandment deals with loving God with all of our being. And I think if the truth be known, all of us have fallen short in most of those 10 commandments. Honor thy mother and father. I'm sure if not most of us, if not all of us, have had time or time again in our past upbringing, for those that are adults, where we failed to honour our parents as we should have. See, we've all fallen short of God's standard of perfection. The Bible teaches us we are all guilty sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, most religions today will tell you that you really aren't that bad. But the Bible teaches us we are bad. We're sinners. In fact, we're guilty of sin. We have not only been charged with sin, we have been sentenced as guilty sinners. And see, at the end of the day, the issue is not what you and I perceive or want to believe about ourselves. The issue is, what does God think? Now, I understand from time to time, you can be invited to give your opinion, and I am one that likes to only give my opinion when I'm invited to give an opinion. There are some of us that are very opinionated. Some of us that are hanging out to give that next opinion. Now, I'm not that way inclined. Every man to his own, but personally, for me, if you want my opinion, ask for it and I'm happy to give it to you. But there are times in which an opinion is not warranted, not asked for. In fact, it doesn't really matter. It makes no difference. So when it comes to this issue of man standing before a holy God, really, my friend, your opinion, my opinion, has no substance to it. But you might say, well, Pastor, this is what I want to believe about myself. Well, you can believe as you like. But it won't change the facts. The facts are within the Word of God. The Word of God is God's revelation to mankind. And God tells us in His Word how He sees all mankind. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now from verses 10 down to verse number 18, just in case for some that they really don't want to believe that they are sinners, God gives clarity concerning the fact that mankind is sinful. Man is not right in the sight of God. Note then verse 10, the Bible reads, as it is written, Romans chapter 3 verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The word righteous deals with the issue of being straight. So in other words, the Bible teaches us that there is nobody that is straight. We are all crooked before a holy God. To be righteous is in reference to measuring up to God's standard. And the Bible teaches us that we are all guilty sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. In other words, we are all unrighteous. We are crooked, in other words. We are bent in some way. But Pastor, no, no, no. But hang on, my friend. I didn't ask for your opinion. God speaking. God tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. They're absolute words. No, not one. Then it goes on to read in verse number 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. In verse number 11 concerning our sinful condition before a holy God, that little phrase there is none that understandeth, is in reference to our thinking. Our thinking is distorted because of sin. Sin runs deep into the roots of our thinking process, and therefore this often leads to false assumptions and wrong conclusions. So one of the marks that give evidence to the fact that you and I are sinful before a holy God is that our thinking is distorted. And we have the evidence of that all around us. But also verse number 11 teaches us there's none that seeketh after God. That simply means that mankind does not naturally seek after the true God wholeheartedly. Yes, we can have moments of it. Easter, Christmas, for some, maybe once a week. Maybe for some during a wedding ceremony or during a funeral ceremony. There is none that seeketh after God. So in our natural condition, people generally are unresponsive to a
eternal matters. People have little regard for the things of eternity. But though we have little snapshots and little windows of opportunity here and there, but generally speaking, the Bible teaches us we are sinful in need of a Saviour. No man seeketh after God. But Pastor, hang on. I didn't ask for your opinion. God speaking. And then in verse number 12, the Bible goes on to teach that they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So verse number 12 also highlights the fact that man is not right before God, man is sinful. Mankind, we are not only crooked, our thinking is distorted, we don't naturally seek after God, wholeheartedly that is. And then in verse 12, mankind gives evidence of the fact that he is sinful because he chooses to do his own thing. Mankind generally chooses to live outside of the boundaries of God's word. Mankind tends to be stubborn, self-willed, and even defiant before a holy God. So the Bible teaches us we are all under sin, we are guilty sinners, and we give evidence of that sin because we tend to be self-willed. I don't think anybody would disagree with that point. Your natural bent, my natural bent, is to do what you want to do. And then the Bible goes on to teach in verse 12 that we are unprofitable before God. That is, we have no true value. We are worthless before God because of our sin. Unprofitable. That's pretty condemning, isn't it? And then just in case we miss the point, in verse 12, once again we are told, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Our so-called good is no good in God's eyes. In other words, because we are guilty sinners, we are no gooders before God. Oh, but Pastor, I'm a good person. Well, that's your opinion. God didn't ask for your opinion. God tells us we're no good. There are no gooders before God. And then in verse number 13, just in case you're still feeling quite good about yourself, the Bible goes on to teach their throat is an open sepulchre. We are a repulsive odour in the nostrils of Almighty God because of our sin. Note when the Lord Jesus arrived there at the tomb of Lazarus, our Lord was told that he stinks because he's been dead for 4 days. Nothing pleasant to the aroma is the smell of a dead body. And the Bible teaches us that mankind in his sinful state is repulsive to me. It's like an unbearable aroma. Because, my friend, we must bear in mind that God is holy. He's absolutely holy. Now, for us to fully comprehend that, it's very difficult. But I think when the Bible describes sin as God sees sin, I think there's a little bit of a insight there concerning how holy God is and how unholy we are in our sinful state. And the Bible makes reference to one as a sinner being as one that's been dead for a number of days, and the aroma that flows from a dead man's tomb. And then verse number 13 goes on to say, with their tongues they have used deceit. The issue of deceitfulness. The issue of being misleading. All of us are subject to mislead and to be deceitful, and I would dare say for all of us at some point in our life have been guilty of being deceitful. We're sinners. We're crooked. Our thinking is distorted, so therefore we can be prone to being deceitful, and God defines sin, the outflow of sin, is one that is deceitful. And God tells us mankind is guilty of sin and therefore he is given to deceit. And then the Bible goes on to read in verse number 13, the poison of asps or serpents is under their lips. One of the marks of the sinful nature or the evidence of sin within our nature is the ability to hurt with our speech. We've all been born with moral poisonous sap. And we can strike at one another with our venomous words at any time. And verse number 14 goes on to read, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. So one of the marks of the sinful nature is unholy words, unholy communication. Speech that is hurtful and cruel towards others. This is the sinful nature. And all of us can be guilty. Or should I say, all of us have been guilty of saying things that are hurtful to others. And then it goes on to teach in verse number 15. Are you still with me? Look at verse number 15. Their feet are swift, not slow, swift to shed blood. Unkindness prevails within the human race. Because of our sinful nature, we're all guilty at some point of hurting others. And there are some that will go out of their way to hurt others. Now I understand that we can all unintentionally hurt others because we're sinners. But yet there are those that will purposely pursue the goal of hurting others. Then it goes on to read in verse number 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. The evidence of sin in our day is so obvious. We see around us lives being destroyed and we see sadness prevailing everywhere. Why are there lives being destroyed all around us? Why is there misery and sadness all around us? Let me tell you why. Because of sin. And therefore there is the absence of peace. Note verse number 17. And the way of peace have they not known. Void of peace. This is obvious. Present in our day. Why? Because man is a sinner. Man needs a saviour. And last but not least, verse number 18, the Bible reads, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Generally speaking, people have no regard concerning eternal matters. Less than 5% of the Australian population goes to church. Less than 5%. I'm not too sure what the latest statistic is, but it's not very encouraging. They say around 5% claim to be Christians, but less than that amount actually go to church. See, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Why is it that a person can mow their lawn on Good Friday? As we were driving back from church the other week, there was this character mowing his lawn on Good Friday. In my heart of hearts, I wanted to, but I didn't. I wanted to jump out of my car and say, "Don't you fear God? Don't you realise this is the day that we as Australians title Good Friday to remember the death of Jesus Christ, and you are mowing your lawns? Don't you fear God?" So we see the evidence of no fear for God all around us, do we not? All of this affirms the fact that we're all guilty of sin. Note verse number 19, please. It reads, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Look at verse number 22, please. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith." By faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. So verses 9 down to verse number 20 gives us a very grim picture concerning man before holy God. And that is that man is sinful, man is distorted, man is self-willed, man is rebellious, there's nothing good in us. We have no real value, we are of no profit to God because of our sinful nature. It's a pretty grim picture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the Bible teaches us that man is guilty of sin. And no matter where you are at, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is a sentence placed upon sin. For the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. So our pay packet, our salary for sin is death. But the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news. So out of the misery of sin comes a light of hope found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ arose from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. So even though man is sinful, guilty of sin, sentenced to death because of sin, Jesus Christ, our advocate, came into this sinful world and died in our place for my sins, for your sins, paid in full the sin debt, and offers eternal life to all. Now how does a person receive this eternal life? Well, in verse number 22, of chapter 3, even the righteousness of God. Remember, we read back in verse number 10 that we are unrighteous. There is none that are righteous. But we can obtain God's righteousness by faith. By faith in who? By faith in Jesus Christ. When we believe on Him. This believing on Christ is in reference to receiving Jesus Christ as one Saviour. Acknowledging that we are sinful. The humility to just say, God, I'm no good. But Pastor, I'm not a bad person. But Pastor, I'm a religious person. But Pastor, I believe in God. But Pastor, I've gone through a number of religious rituals. But Pastor, hang on. I didn't ask for your opinion. God's speaking. See, God tells us in the Word of God, we are sinful. There is none that are good, no, not one. And my friend, if you and I will just simply and humbly swallow our pride, let's take a deep breath, swallow our pride, and humbly yield to the Bible, God's Word, that teaches us we are sinful. And in that humility of mind, we acknowledge the fact that I cannot attain God's acceptance. All have come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And my friend, this morning, the Bible is absolute truth. The Bible teaches us that we are sinners, condemned before God to physical and spiritual death. But listen to me, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried. On day number 3, He arose from the dead. And if you will just humbly admit your need of Christ and repent of your sin and in humility of mind receive Jesus Christ as your Saviour by faith, at that point you can be born into God's family. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Have you received that gift of God, which is eternal life? So even though Romans chapter 3 verses 9 down to verse number 23 paints a very grim picture of man, but a true picture of man, there is the hope of being righteous before God. And the Bible teaches us in verse 22, it is by faith. Did you hear me? By faith, not works. Because there's none that doeth good, no, not one. By faith alone can mankind be found righteous before God. And I trust and pray, my friend, this morning, that you've applied God's righteousness to your life. By faith. Listen to me. By faith. Applying God's righteousness. See, at the end of the day, it is a privilege to give an opinion. But I think we'd be far better off to simply heeding God's word. Will somebody say amen? Most of us are just too opinionated. That's your problem. That's your problem. Why don't we just humbly just yield to the Word of God? And there might be some here this morning. You claim to be a Christian, but your life is not what it ought to be. Could it well be that you are living according to your opinions and failing to obey the Word of God? It's a privilege to give an opinion. I'm not totally against opinions. Don't get me wrong. But I think there's a place for opinions. It's not a right to have an opinion, no matter what the media might tell you. It's a privilege. And there are some issues that God does not ask for our opinion. In fact, the Bible's full of truth. And God doesn't ask for your opinion. God doesn't ask my opinion. And I've been to Bible college. I've been a Christian for a long time. I'm a pastor. I've given my life to the work of God, and really God has no real regard to my opinions. But that's okay. Because God is God. He is Lord. And may God help us to yield our lives to the Word of God. Let's set aside our opinions. Let's submit to the Word of God. This issue of salvation, and secondly, surrender, really our opinions eternally have little value. It's what God teaches that really matters. And obedience to God's Word, that's what God is after. Let's bow for prayer.